All right, guys, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell, brought to you by Reebok, the official outfitter of CrossFit and CrossFit Games. I am Ben Alderman.
I'm Blair Morrison. We're joined by an Amazon on the red couch.
My name happens to be Brooke Entz.
Thanks for being here, Brooke.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're kind of making the rounds these days, right? Traveling all over the place.
Yeah, and I'm really trying to, because I leave for Europe. I'm doing a little Euro tour, and I leave on the 17th. So these last few days leading up to that, I'm trying to make sure I get some stuff done because I'm going to be gone for almost 3 weeks.
Choosing to spend them in beautiful Sacramento.
Yeah.
At least a couple of them.
I have a lot of stuff I'm doing up here. So I get to work with Ben, which I enjoy, and I get to come and have a gym to train at. When I travel a lot, that's the biggest battle. And then even you can find gyms when you travel, but then it's about finding someone or people that are fun to train with that excite you to go to the gym while you're traveling. And so it's easy for me to come here and be at the gym and train. And so I actually enjoy coming to Sacramento.
You're saying that I actually enjoy coming to Sacramento.
I'm going to be honest. My first time coming here.
Sacramento's great. Yeah. What's wrong with Sacramento?
Well, it's better this time. It's not as hot. I came last time, it was boiling.
Yeah, sweltering. That's true. She came when it was like 106.
Yeah. It's hot. I'm not going to discount that it's hot.
Yeah.
But I feel like Sacramento gets a bad rap, right?
I agree.
A bad rap. I feel like it's maybe it gets a bad rap.
Underexposed?
Underrated.
Underrated.
Yeah, it's underrated.
When I came last time, everyone was like, oh, I feel bad. You have to go to Sacramento. And then I was here and I was like, I had a great time.
Yeah.
I found great coffee.
Right.
Great
gym. The downtown
is very cool. We went to dinner at that really cool place.
Yeah. Zocalo's. We hit Zocalo's downtown.
It was nice.
Nice spot.
It was mostly the company.
I enjoyed it.
Mostly the company.
Well, it's the company.
I don't know if you caught this. Actually, I'm sure that you did. But she slipped into the conversation earlier that she's excited to come train with you at your gym.
It's true, man.
What?
That's why I'm here.
I was going to actually make that a soundbite and just play it over
and over again. You would.
Yeah. You know what it is, too, though, is I actually enjoy the drive. Like, I get to – that's what I really liked this time coming up here. Like, I just got home from the CrossFit Games yesterday.
You enjoy the drive from?
From Santa Cruz. 2.5 hours. If I leave at the right time, it's never really more than that. If I leave either really early or, you know, late morning or something like that. And all I kind of wanted to do after coming home from the CrossFit Games was be alone and not talk to anybody. So the 2.5 hours was really nice.
Like therapy.
Just listen. Yeah. Listen to music. Drink an iced tea.
That's great.
And then I got here and we'll hit a workout. It'll be great.
I hate that drive.
From Santa Cruz. Well, we're always usually, few times we've been doing something like from Santa Cruz to here or San Jose to here.
Yeah.
And we're always on a timeline. Because usually the last few times I think probably you've made that drive. You and I have been together probably, right? For a podcast type stuff.
Yeah.
And so we've spent our whole day talking to people and then we're trying to get back home to our
families
that are probably just irritated with us for some reason or the other, which is unjustified as usual.
Well, and if I'm working with a company, I'm working with my food sponsor here, Trifecta. So I've been coming up a lot more to work with them on a project that we are launching next week, I think. And with that, it will bring me here often, like really often.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, which is great. But then you could say that at some point, I might say, you know, don't really like that drive anymore.
True.
Right now, it's a couple times a month, once a month. So it's kind of nice to just get away by myself, drive, listen to music, kind of uninterrupted, or to be able to catch up on like interviews or phone calls that I have to have that it's hard to find the time to just be on the phone for an hour. When I drive, I can do that. And the phone calls go faster.
I want to just do a little rewind to the last time we spoke to you.
Okay.
All right. Do you remember?
Yeah. We were at the coffee shop.
Downtown Santa Cruz. It was leading up to regionals, right?
Cute little back area back in there, a little nook, terrace.
Overgrown.
Type thing. Yeah.
I mean, just super granola.
I digress. Go ahead.
Very granola.
Like hemp hanging from the walls.
Yeah.
That kind of place.
Yeah.
But it was, wasn't it in leading up to regionals in 2015?
Yep.
That sounds right.
I think so. It was right before.
You went through, crushed it that year.
I did a great time.
Went to the games.
I did a great time. I did a great job.
Had a great year at the games as well.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about what has changed since then in your life, because I feel like you had like a pretty big social media presence at that point, but it seems like you really mobilized your success that year into a lot of big projects?
Yeah, I, well, so probably, yeah, so I went to regionals, won regionals, was really great. That was my second time ever competing as an individual. A couple weeks before the CrossFit Games, I received a phone call from Warner Brothers Studios, and they were wanting me to come in and read for a movie, which I didn't believe at first. Still probably didn't believe up
prank
to the
call.
Moment that I was...
It was Ben.
Definitely a prank call. It was Ben.
I need you to come to Sacramento and read this script.
And so what's crazy is, like, I grew up singing and dancing and performing. I mean, I wanted to be on Broadway. That's all I ever wanted to do. I wanted to be in the movies. I wanted to, you know, do musical theater. And through growing up and going to school and different life stuff, you know, I ended up in Santa Cruz and I was unemployed for a year. It's hard to find work. I was working at a coffee shop full time. And then I finally started coaching. I'd been doing CrossFit for a long time. I didn't have the desire to coach. At least I didn't think that I did. And that's because I was first introduced to coaching like at a regular Globo gym. And that wasn't for me.
That's a different
thing. Totally different. And I thought I would never do anything like that again. I thought that my chances of, you know, going to Juilliard or being on Broadway or being in the movies or doing anything in entertainment was kind of over because of decisions I had made. Not bad decisions, just different ones.
Just the path you took, right?
Yep. And it was crazy because, you know, just through me focusing on really just, I focused on training because I didn't have dance and I decided to try and go to the CrossFit Games. And through hard work, somehow things that are meant to be are just meant to be. I'm serious. Like, I literally got a phone call from Warner Brothers. I never did acting. I only ever did musical theater in school. And it's funny because apparently Zack Snyder, who's the director of, or was, the Justice League, thoughts and prayers go out to Zack Snyder. Actually, he had a family emerge, like a tragedy that's pulled him off the project. But he had found a photo of me online. And it's a photo from my Pure Pharma, when I was a Pure Pharma athlete. Puari is their new name, right? Is that how you say it?
I don't know how to say it.
They've changed their name. Anyways.
Blair's no longer Pure Pharma athlete either.
At the time, it was a photo of me, and I'm in a blue sports bra, and I've got a sledgehammer over my shoulder, like a very Thor-esque.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is just right up
yes.
the comic
and
book alley.
Basically, that's what it was. It was like, for sure, typecasted, but they not only interviewed, had me read for the movie, but they came and scouted at the CrossFit Games at the 2015 Games. So I checked in for the games and drove immediately to Warner Brothers. And I had to run in to read for this movie same day.
What did you read?
It was a scene from 300, actually.
Scene from 300?
Yes.
Okay.
At the time, I didn't know what movie I was reading for. That was like super undisclosed. But they had multiple athletes read for the movie.
Multiple CrossFit athletes?
Yes.
Okay. And remember anybody else that was there?
No.
No.
And that's where it comes down to, like, it was just the perfect storm for me because I grew up doing musical theater and singing and acting and dancing. And so
right.
the
you
background
this,
that I had in
the
that entertainment, paired with, you know, the look they were looking for, it just worked out. Because as soon as I arrived in London, I remember I got to my hotel and I was waiting for a phone call because I didn't know how to get a hold of anybody. They came and picked me up and drove me to the studio to go to the gym. And I walked in the gym and I opened the door and I didn't have my glasses on. Like, at the other end of the gym is this man on a rower and he like throws his arms up and he's like, "You're here." He like screams at me, like so excited. And I was like, yep. I had no idea who it was. It was Zack Snyder apparently. And what I found out later is like he told the casting director, because they had a European casting director and they had an American casting director who worked through the States. I was one of the only people from the States they took out there. Besides like the leads in the movie. And they basically took my photo to her and said, "See if you can get this to work out, you know." But he said, usually that stuff never works out. Like, he did not expect me to be there because of all the other things you have to be able to do to like right. actually make it, you know. So it was, my life changed quite a bit. I wasn't sure if I was going to accept the offer because as soon as I found out they were filming in Europe, I was like, oh, that doesn't, I train year round for trying to go back. I've been, you know, to do CrossFit.
Right.
And now I just want to go back. And at this point, I had this idea in my head that's, oh, I'm a games athlete. That's who I am. That's what I do. Like, I can't not qualify.
Right.
You know, and so I almost didn't do it because I thought I would let down my coaches, let down my friends, you know.
Who smacked
supporters.
You around and talked some sense into you? Because that seems like a really easy decision to me at this
I know.
Point.
You know what it was? Mike spoke to me, my coach, Michael Cashew, and I even spoke with Dan Bailey. It just some people that are close to me that like kind of reassured me that it was a good idea. And I basically thought of it this way. If I don't qualify for the CrossFit Games, what happens? It sucks, right? But what do I do? Like, what does every athlete do?
Well,
we just
before,
start, yeah,
right?
We just start training again, and we right. just keep doing what we're doing.
Like, end
there's...
up like me.
Like at this, like at this point, like I literally had in my head, like, oh well, now I'm at this level. Like I can't not be at that level,
right?
And that's not a healthy way to think about it. This, you know, I've grown quite a bit over the past couple of years
by going to Europe and filming a movie
and coming home and not qualifying
a
again
lot
in 2016
took place.
Yeah, going to Europe, filming a movie, coming back, not qualifying, thinking I'm going to have a comeback year. Bam, got to get my neck fused. I'm out again for a whole other season. You know, right. It's just I've definitely been through a lot. But I kind of decided if I don't qualify for the games, if I don't do this movie and I compete, right? I'm training, and I go to regionals. I don't qualify. What does that mean? Nothing. It means I don't qualify and I just train again because I love right. to train. That's what we do. If I don't do the movie and I keep training and go to the CrossFit Games and I qualify, what does that mean? You know, I might make a little bit of money if I do well at the CrossFit Games, and then guess what? California takes half of it and I start over again. Right. The games are over. We start over again. We just start training. If I don't do this movie, it's like a huge opportunity lost. I mean, it was a crazy opportunity that I was lucky to have. And through it, even if nothing came of it, I get to say forever that I was in this like amazing, you know, movie that's going to withstand a lot of time and means a lot to a lot of people. And even if nothing comes of it, but there is an off chance that that could catapult me and make me have, you know, help me have a career beyond my years of competing.
Which, and also, like you said, from the time you were a little girl, that's what you wanted.
Exactly.
So like that, I think that has to play into it. I can't believe you were considering not doing it.
I'm
glad that you got yourself
I think
on the
that
right
I was
path.
Just I think that that's just the competitor inside me, and then also this I just didn't want to let people down. I think everyone kind of, you know, feel that way a little bit, but having all my coaches support me too made it a lot easier to go and do it.
Ben, who are two, can name me, or name me a few of athletes turned movie stars that are your idols?
Athletes turned movie stars?
Yeah.
So you have Arnold.
Arnold.
Yeah.
And?
The Rock.
The Rock.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. Listen, The
and,
Rock
and,
is my
and
jam.
Brooke.
I have
Brooke. So I really have three.
I mean, okay, so what I'm saying is, who knows if this will go into anywhere, but like, how cool is it to think about people like that that have made insane careers, insane amounts of money because they were athletes, right?
Yeah.
And they have this charisma and this, they have talent, of course, stage presence,
yeah.
whatever, that's what separates them from, you know, other people that do the same thing. But I mean, I never really thought of CrossFit being like that arena being like a selection ground for
yeah.
directors and
neither
casting
had
directors.
I neither
but
had
it
I
it totally makes sense.
Yeah,
it totally makes sense.
Makes
now
sense,
you wish
really.
You would have
Makes
kept
sense.
Training more, don't you?
I wish I was way bigger.
Yeah, you wish you would have kept trying to go back.
I'm over
that
here trying to be the female
games.
Version of The Rock. You
be
know?
The female Rock.
Yeah, that's a good goal.
That
would
good
be
goal.
So good.
He's got that burly gray beard right now. Have you seen him in his last few posts?
No.
Yes, he's got a beard. It's like it's his. Dude's going salt and pepper for sure, but
wow.
he has got a lot of gray in that beard.
What movie is he doing that's
he
requires
just
a
did,
beard?
He just did a Rampage was the
yeah,
movie
Rampage
he just did, right?
But like, I don't think he needed it for Rampage. I think he's just growing it out.
Rampage
just
like
he
the
can.
Video game Rampage?
Exactly.
No.
Yes.
No.
I've never seen
with
that
like
video game.
Dinosaurs and like huge
and breaking
monkeys.
Breaking down buildings.
Breaking
and stuff.
Buildings?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God.
The movies they're making these days, man.
They
can bring anything to life now.
They can bring anything to life.
Yeah, with Brooke's help, of course.
It's true.
Yeah, all right, Amazon so women. Let's get back to what you were doing. You were in Wonder Woman. This
I was
is the movie
in
we're
Wonder
talking
Woman,
about.
And then I'm actually in contract to do sequels, but I don't know if that's happening. And then I was in the Justice League, which we filmed in August. I was only there for 1 month, so that was nice.
Okay.
And it was great because I working on Wonder Woman was very cool. I met a lot of great people. But the whole vibe on set there was a little bit different. Like, I was a weirdo. Like, right. I was weird because I was so healthy and I was I focused so much on my training. And at the end of it, I didn't know if I wanted to do it again. Like, I didn't have that great of an experience. Okay. And I think, too, that I came home and did regionals and I was in a really dark place for a little bit after not qualifying. And all the backlash I got on social media was gnarly,
for
man.
For not qualifying?
Yeah, it was really, really rough. But then I got through it and I went back in August and did the Justice League and it was awesome. Like, Zack Snyder was into health and fitness and training himself.
Right.
You know, he was in the gym with me in the morning, every morning. He was there like 40 minutes before me because they all would train and then they would work all day.
Right.
So it was cool. There was a much more common theme of just health and fitness and like training that made me feel a lot more welcome. And I got to film this scene that is the scene that he had envisioned when he saw the photo of me. And that's why he wanted me.
And you got to do that scene.
I got to do that.
To bring that
scene.
To life.
I got That's to bring awesome. That to life. And now we just cross our fingers that it worked, right? That they kept it.
Right.
When I was at the movie premiere of Wonder Woman, all of the directors and people that are working on the Justice League, they were all there. And a couple of the women were telling me how amazing that scene is. So I'm hoping that they kept it.
Nice.
Yeah. So you didn't really see me in Wonder Woman, but apparently you're going to see me in this one.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I've always had this... I don't know if it's like arrogance, but I remember watching 300, the movie, and everybody came out with this 300 workout, which was a version of CrossFit.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, these dudes, these actors, I feel like the stuff you see, it was filmed in a weird lens that made them all look pretty jacked. And I'm like, if I was filmed in that lens, like, I must look
You'd
like
look massive.
Massive. Like, an absolute. And I'm not a massive person. I'm 190 pounds. Like,
they're
whatever.
not. There's a lot that happens. So
that's what I'm saying. So now you're there with these Amazon girls, and I watched the movie, and they all look pretty fit. Like, what happens when stand next to those girls?
I don't make it to the movie.
Because?
They cut me out.
You're too fit.
You're too fit.
You're the outlier.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think, you know.
You're like Arnold next to a bunch of, like, regular men.
So maybe it was actually a good
thing. You need to be the star is the point. You need to
And that's what Zach told me. So I felt that way on Wonder Woman. It was me and one other girl were really jacked. And you see her a lot more in certain scenes than me. There's a scene that, like, you know when he's lassoed and they first caught him? Yeah. So they filmed that before I even got there. Mm. I was the last person they brought out because they didn't have to train me or diet me in any way. So they didn't want to pay me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I was the last person they brought to Europe. Everyone else had already been there and everyone's from Europe. So they'd bring them in during the week. They'd work all week and they'd go home on the weekends. When I got there, I didn't get to go home. Yeah, I was way more expensive. But when I was doing the Justice League, there was a scene and basically, without giving anything away, you're just sort of... The Amazons in the Justice League, it's a very small portion. You're kind of seeing a moment in time where a lot of things are all happening at the same time in these different worlds, right? Because you have all the different superheroes. Well, there's a scene where all the Amazons are standing in this, like... it's a big room. It's kind of like a dungeon. And I wasn't in it. It was just me and my friend and Herod. So me and her both are like the two that look very, very different. They did have some bodybuilder chicks actually in the Justice League because they wanted the women to look really fierce and really tough. But Zach, I was sitting next to him and I finally was like, dude. And of course I'm this person that's like really forward because I'm like, don't waste my time and I don't want to waste your time. Like, why am I here? Basically, if you're not going to use me. I said, explain to me. Like, just be honest. Be upfront with me. And he basically said, he goes, Brooke, You don't blend in. He goes, look at everyone up there. They're all interchangeable. I can't be on screen unless I'm meant to be on screen because I draw too much attention to myself. And that's what he told me, which now explains why, you know, there was a lot of moments where I wanted to be more involved in Wonder Woman, but I just didn't get to be.
Like, Zach, listen, I know where you can find a whole bunch of girls that look like me, and we'll all blend in, and you won't have to pay for any of us to get in shape.
The weird thing is, though, this really brings to light the conversation we're having off the air about Blair's work as an extra, because yes, he blends in with the background just fine and doesn't stand out at all.
Well, Ben, I will say, if you put anybody in full police gear with the vest,
Blair Morrison stays in the picture.
You all look the same. But point taken, jerk. Point taken.
But you know what? Again, of the people in this room, I have not participated in any kind of
yet
movie or yes, yet, yet. Exactly.
Got to be the Rock standing. Grow a gray beard.
You can do it.
I can do it. Yeah, I have to get more jacked.
Plus, they use body doubles
all the time.
Face swapping. No bullshit.
really?
Yes.
Oh, well, I've heard about that. I think maybe you were
talking about that. It blew my mind. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. Like, I kind of thought everyone sort of becomes their character, right? If they don't have to, they don't. Like, if Batman is not doing a shirtless scene, he's not lean and ripped. Also,
interesting.
They can paint on muscles, right?
Right. Well, that's the 300 thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, I'm sure, were training hard and dieting really hard. They were. Because when I was there and they were talking about just like what the meal situation was, in comparison to ours for Wonder Woman, ours was so bad, especially in Italy. Right. Terrible food. Oh, terrible food.
That's surprising.
Oh, my gosh. And
I
like,
think you guys have the best food.
It was so bad. Luckily, I had a company that was sending me food, so I had food for me.
Right.
Except for when I was in Italy and the first package didn't arrive on time of food and it got to me and it was all bad.
But you know that
makes
sense.
That was scary.
Because they know they can paint on the muscles and make you look how they want you to look. So they're like, why are we going to waste our time like making these people into something that they're not?
And then initially I was so angry. I was like, this is bullshit. This is all fake. This makes me so, you know, I mean, like, none of this is real. And then I'm like, oh, wait. I mean, it doesn't have to be. Like, people are wanting to be entertained.
Right,
it's not supposed to be real, right? And everyone, like, tons and tons of comments. I still get it. Like, you should have been Wonder Woman. You should have been Wonder Woman. And it's like, yeah, that'd be way cool. I would love to be Wonder Woman. But guess what? Like, and I'm taking acting classes. I started taking acting classes and, but what I've reminded people of is like same reason why they didn't have more CrossFitters in the movie. Like you still have to be able to like act.
Be an actress, right?
Yeah. So like Gal Gadot, not only was she one of the sweetest people I'd ever met, she may have not totally looked the part, but you have to remember also she's a god. She's like, she's half god, half Amazon. So
I bought it all day.
Yes.
Me too.
She's a phenomenal actress. Her and Chris Pine, their chemistry was unbelievable.
He's a great actor, too.
He's hilarious in person. Yeah. Hilarious.
How tall is he, though?
He's not tall.
Not tall.
No.
No.
She's
tall.
Josh Bridges or, like, taller than that?
Taller than that.
Dan Bailey?
I'd say he's about my height, like 5'7".
Okay.
Which is average for a Hollywood star.
It's average, yeah.
Right.
Makes
me feel
Jason
pretty good,
Momoa.
Though.
Great buddy of mine, me and him hit it off real quick, and I think it's mostly because he got there and realized that I was one of the only Americans, and huge dude, really tall, very funny, loves to drink Guinness, like an absurd amount. Like we had a Guinness fridge in the gym where they kept Guinness in there and kept it locked because he was like having to diet down for his role.
So he couldn't get to it.
He couldn't get to
it.
And they probably, yeah, and then they'd like open it, I think, occasionally. Yeah, crazy.
Do you think that
I had my first Guinness with Jason Momoa, actually. I had never had it before. And it was on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, that's fitting. Yeah. Do you think that part of the reason why you were in a dark place after the filming of that movie and why you were so eager to get back to the train was because of the fakeness of that world compared to like competition and training for CrossFit is about, I mean, there's nothing, it's real. Like you either succeed or you fail. You either make the lift or you don't. Like, do you think part of that, like the contrast there, was what was kind of driving you to get back to competition?
Yeah, I do think that, and I think that I had just over a course of time, things moving so fast for me in the realm of CrossFit, but also just in the realm of like being in like the public eye and a lot of things like happening very fast. And I'm so busy, you know, insecurities or things I may have been dealing with and didn't even realize that I was, when something bad happens, right? And then all of these people start saying terrible things about you that aren't true. It's very hard to not believe them. And so not only was I coming, that entire prep for regionals, I was so scared. I knew, my coaches knew, I knew I could qualify. Even, I mean, so 6 weeks before regionals, I stopped going below parallel altogether because I had tendonitis so bad in my knee that I couldn't squat, I couldn't jerk, I couldn't do anything. So all of those below parallel events, snatching, all of that, I hadn't done it for 6 weeks. That's like me coming out of like surgery. I couldn't train for 6 weeks. And so I had that in the back of my mind of like, you know, maybe me thinking like, I'm not as fit as anyone else. I'm not as fit as anyone else. Everyone else's prep was completely different than mine. And I kept trying to like push those feelings down and think, it's all right though, because I am really fit. And if anything, I am so mentally tough. Like it, this experience has been so hard for me. I have trained so much as I could. I've had the longest days ever. I've been up in a makeup chair. I've been up to go to the gym at 5:30 in the morning to train somewhat for an hour, to then sit in a makeup chair and sit in costume all day and do absolutely nothing. Like that was the hardest part, is being so athletic and so fit and sit there and be so exhausted at the end of the day. I did nothing. And I was so tired. And I'd get back, take my kit off, go to the gym, and then eat and go to bed, do it again. And we didn't film on Saturday and Sunday, so I trained on Saturday and Sunday, but I also tried to train every single day. So in my head, I'm going into regionals thinking, you know what though? It may be hard for me to qualify because I haven't been able to lift, I haven't been able to do these things, but I'm going to have a mental edge that a lot of people don't have just purely based on what I just went through. And I did. I mean, I took sixth, you know. What happened is like at the end of it, I was very upset. Everyone usually is, right? We train all year for this and it's over. And I remember I was talking to Michael and I was feeling a lot better. Like kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And I had gone dark on social media over the weekend. And so we were in the car and we were driving back to my house and I logged back into my social and I just started reading a lot of comments. And it was like, I was already in like kind of like a sad place, but that like 300 kicked me into like a super dark place. And it was just because it wasn't anymore about my appearance. Like, no one can surprise me with what you want to say about what I look like. Will you hurt my feelings sometimes? Yeah. If I'm in like a, maybe I'm having a rough day and you'll get to me, but like, it was about my character. It was about me being a fluke and I was never coming back and I was washed up and, you know, it made no sense that I won the year before and all these things. It's like, all in all, I just took sixth place.
Right, but where is this being said?
It's all on like Instagram, Twitter.
Like on photos you posted of like great weekend, sad, but whatever. And then people are just like,
yeah, just, and it was the same, hate. It was the same couple of people. It was only two people. And it was, I screenshotted a lot of them because I was showing them to, because I was trying to go in and just erase them. Because I don't have anything to say back to you, but I also don't want other people to read that. And I ended up erasing all those like shortly after I showed them to, you know, my coach and things like that. But I actually cannot remember some of the things that were written, but they were rough. It was really, really bad. And it was just, it was attacking me from a different angle. It wasn't anymore about how I looked. It wasn't like nothing that I was used to. Like at that point, you couldn't surprise me with your insults. It was more so now it's like insulting my work ethic and my like what I do every single day. I work hard every single day. I came to regionals and took sixth place. Like that doesn't mean that I'm a bad athlete or that it was wrong that I won the year before. It just means like I did a lot. My prep for regionals didn't look like anyone else's. I was injured. You know, it was a rough weekend and mentally, even my coach will tell me, he's like, Brooke, if I could have been in a better mental place going into regionals, I could have probably qualified. You know, I mean, I don't think that I should say could have probably qualified. I do think there were a couple things that could have gone differently. One thing that should have gone differently, and I'll tell you because I'm honest, my judge was an asshole on the strict muscle up workout. And it's so funny because all I could do was laugh, like in the middle of that workout. I got so many no reps. It's incredible. And I performed better on that workout than we ever thought I ever could have. My ability to do strict muscle ups, like it just went really well for me. And I just kept getting no rep after no rep, and no one could understand why in the audience. And when I finally got off the floor, I had text messages from people being like, stop flirting with your judge. He's no repping you. And it's like, I wasn't flirting. I just was so angry and so upset that all I could do was laugh. Mm-hmm. Out there laughing at my judge and my situation, and I couldn't do anything about it. It was very helpless. That's the only event that I would say that it was completely out of my control, and I don't agree with it. But it's one of those moments as an athlete where it's like, it's out of your control. You do what you can. You right. say what do I need to change, you try and do it, and it happens, right? But other than that, I mean, I didn't score very well on the pistol power clean workout. Want to know why? Because I had just done really well on the wall ball pull up sprint workout. 150 wall balls, 125 wall balls, right? It was kind of like Karen.
And 50 or 104. Two.
I did that, and I had not squatted, let alone besides sitting on a toilet for 6 weeks. My legs just couldn't handle it. The capacity, like, I purely could not go faster on pistols. Like, yeah. I scored that workout. My goal was to not let the person next to me beat me, which was me, China, and Sarah Hopping. And that didn't happen. And me and China both went into the final event like, we have to kill this workout, which I did a great job. But one of the girls I needed to beat was a ninja. Up those right. rope climbs. Yeah, it was. Right.
Some of that is credit to the other athletes.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and I think I'm not going to say what I think. I would like to hear what you think. So you get these horrible, like, you know, text messages, but comments. It puts you into like a deep, dark place. Like, how do you rebound from that? Like, what's the process?
Well, I was, I was very shook. Insecurities that I've had probably since I was young that I didn't even realize I had anymore, just because there was so much going on that was good in my life and was kind of covering it up. And I think that like walls that I've built up naturally from when I was young, you know, dealing with bullying and things like that, have protected me and helped me get to a point where I was at. But at some point, those things are you're going to come face to face with them again, and it's how you grow or move on from them if you're going to be more successful, right? They can only get you so far. And this was kind of a moment where a lot of things were coming to head, like all coming, and the walls were coming down, and I was face to face with things that I didn't like about myself that obviously seemed like bigger problems to me than they were to anyone else, but it was still something that was totally holding me back. And I had to deal with that. And how I dealt with it was being very vulnerable and talking about them with people that I trusted. And I read a book called Daring Greatly, which is a phenomenal book. And it's all about being vulnerable. And that was it. It was me accepting myself for who I was and for what I looked like, and making it okay to like love myself too, and realizing that it was more important for me to work on myself and care for myself before I did for other people. And through reading books and talking to people that wanted to listen to me and wanted to genuinely help me, I was able to get to a place where I had a little bit more confidence. And most people are like, I would never guess that you're insecure. And it's like, well, I wouldn't say that I'm good at hiding it. I just think that I'm good at not sharing it with people unless I really feel comfortable. Like, I will. And now I'm very vulnerable. And I came to a point where like social media, well, I have a lot of internal dialogue. That's one thing that, like, I'm a good communicator, but I'm also not a good communicator because sometimes I would rather take care of something myself than have to explain it to somebody else. That also goes for if I'm feeling a certain kind of way, I'll have this, I'll listen to myself, talk it out without me maybe speaking out loud or thinking out loud. I'll like take care of it myself. I don't think I'm taking taking care of it or fixing it. I think I'm just pushing it down, you know, until it goes away, until it comes back with a little bit more of a vengeance next time. Mm-hmm. So I got to where instead of me doing that, I just talked about things, even no matter how crazy they sounded, with people that I trusted. And when I was able to say them out loud, you know, thoughts I had about myself or about a certain circumstance or situation or where I was or what had happened, I could realize how crazy it was, like how unreal it was right. when I said it out loud. And
things sound different when you say them out loud.
Yeah. You know, sure. And it's like one thing I was explaining to somebody, you know, how this idea that I had, and the idea was like, you know, I feel like I'm going to be outed. Like I'm really not that cool of a person, and that people are going to realize like, why is she so successful? Or like, maybe that's, yeah. How did she win regionals? Like she's not good. You know, these are all thoughts that I had. And it's like, I knew they weren't real, but for some reason, I think I still knew they could be real. And so when I started getting all the heat on social media, it's like, oh my God, these people, they know.
They know.
You know what I mean? And so what was happening is like, I've talked to a couple people about it, but what happened is a buddy of mine was like, Brooke, you need to look up Google imposter syndrome, and I'll read it to you. I'll read it to you right now. So this is what I had.
Imposter? I've never heard of imposter syndrome.
I've actually heard of imposter syndrome. Yeah.
Is it something like from The Wizard of Oz?
It is. Here we go. Imposter syndrome, also known as imposter phenomenon or fraud syndrome or the imposter experience, is a concept describing high-achieving individuals who are marked by an inability to internalize their accomplishments and a persistent fear of being exposed as fraud. So I basically couldn't accept that I was successful because I had been putting in the work or because of just who I was as a person. For some reason, I was feeling like it wasn't real and like, and I didn't deserve it. And this is all stuff that I never would have known about myself. Like
don't you think that some people have not to like the full extent that you're describing, but most achieving people have this to some degree.
Yes.
And that's why they continue
say that.
To like,
and they say that you read about it. And I read more about it, and it's like a lot of women too. A lot of successful women, they go through it more than successful men. But it's like, it can be hard to be successful. Even sometimes for me now, sometimes I get uncomfortable when people tell me like, congratulations or good job. You know, I would rather be the person to do it for you. Or sometimes if I feel like I'm being very successful, I feel like I don't ever want to be more successful than you. I don't want you to feel like I'm more successful than you. So like, I would give my success away. You know, and that's not good either. But I also can do things to help people,
right?
And
share
give
it.
Help share it and give them the tools to bring them, you know, go after your dreams as well. So I didn't realize that that's really like what a deeper issue was. And I don't know if I hadn't had that for a long time, but that's something that I think comes and goes with people as they're successful. And it's the moment when you realize that that's what you're dealing with that you then can talk about it and say it out loud and realize how crazy it is, you know. So that's what was happening, like through me talking about stuff, I was able to learn new things about myself and then specifically work on those things through journaling and meditating and talking and being vulnerable. And on that note, I'll say this, like social media. I was reading an article a long time ago. It was this girl who was a social media star, and she was quitting social media because she just couldn't keep up with it anymore. I'm like, what is this? And so I read it, and it's like this chick who, her whole life, she documented everything. She had millions and millions of followers, but everything was, it was fake. It was her being the person people wanted to see, right?
Exactly.
It was her being and posting these things because that's what people wanted to see. And I'm like, I don't get it. Because, and I went through this at that time. It was like, all right, well, here I am, and I'm going to be vulnerable. And if you like me, cool. And if you don't, you don't. Like, and now from that moment on, I get to be myself and be comfortable being myself. And I mean, sometimes not being too much of myself. Okay. Like there's definitely around the certain types of people or like in like big interviews or things like that. You got to tone it, you know, just tone it down a little bit, but
you still have to be professional.
Yeah. Like be professional.
Maintain, yeah.
But that was my goal. It's like, well, I social media is not that hard if it's very if you're just sharing yourself with people.
Yeah, if it's
people,
a reflection,
you know,
of your life,
yeah,
and not like a production.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, then it's
a
lot
easier.
We're
talking about authenticity.
Yeah,
right, is what we're talking about, right?
Yes. You know, when I really felt this was actually so after surgery on my neck. I mean, I've been working on a lot of things, you know, all this time, and like reading books and through talking with people, blah, 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 trying to always be a better person. Or, you know, I'm very easily, I can take something that I've done wrong and I can accept the blame. I also can accept blame for a lot of things that I probably don't do. That's a fault as well. But I can easily say, okay, I did this wrong. What can I do to make it better? Like, if I hurt your feelings, I don't want to hurt your feelings anymore. Like, let's talk it out. What did I do? And I want to not have that happen again. So after my surgery, it's 6 weeks of not training. And I remember I posted a photo. This is just a moment where I decided to be vulnerable to my whole audience. I was very insecure about, like, scared of my physique changing too much. And that's one thing that I... You know, I had tied to my identity was this idea that, like, that's how I have to look. And this is something I worked on, you know, right after regionals too, but I'm continuously working on it, like realizing that, like, people like me because I'm actually, you know, for me and for my mind and me as a person and not just me as what I look like. But subconsciously, I had also tied a specific look to who I was.
The nature of social media, right?
Yes.
It's very visual, especially, so that makes sense.
And so, like, through, you know, surgery and things like that, and like not looking the way that I felt like that's what people expected from me. I remember I just started getting myself to be vulnerable to post my real life and allow people to make a decision for themselves if they wanted to follow me or if they didn't, if they wanted to like me or if they didn't. And that's kind of how
I bet you
I
got
am
more
today.
Followers.
Can you?
Yeah.
Can you? Because that sounds really interesting to me. Like, I just decided to be myself and post that, and if people like me, is there a post?
I mean, I was always myself,
sure.
But there were. I mean, through insecurities, I would definitely be more specific about like what types of things I posted, or like if I didn't feel super comfortable in a bathing suit, like I maybe wouldn't post a bathing suit photo, or you know, I'd leave that one out. And I wouldn't post that one. And
it was filtered a little bit.
Oh, filter game strong.
Yeah. Well, can you give me an example of like when you made this change? Like what post maybe symbolized that?
Oh, yeah,
change?
I can tell you. I mean, I can on my Instagram. There's a photo when I was at Mike and Adi, my nutrition coach, and the owner of Brute Strength. It was at their wedding. And it's a photo of me on the dock. And I think there's probably been moments before this where I posted something, you know. But this one, I posted it. And right afterwards, I thought to myself, like, or even right before, it was like, you know what? You don't feel 100%. You just had surgery. And this is you. And this is what you look like. And you don't need to, you know, pretend to look like something else, or you don't need to like hide away until you come back to training, you know? And I'm eating watermelon. Did you find it?
No, I haven't found it yet.
I'm eating watermelon. And it's so funny. Cause like,
this is before your surgery or after?
This is after, like right after, let's see. And I wrote on it. Sometimes I look back on what I wrote on photos and I'm like, what was I thinking? But I said, posting this photo took, posting this photo took a lot of courage for me. And it's another one, actually. It's the other one. There's two, but, I'm not used to being as soft with quotations as I have been the past few weeks. And I'm also not used to doing one workout a day and being so limited with my training. However, I know that many of you can relate to me and I'm beyond excited about the comeback. Isn't it amazing what our body can do? PT and transformation starts in 2 weeks. Fingers crossed, Dr. Chang says my bones are ready for PT. You know, and it was me. In a way, I guess I've heard this from people that like I humanize myself. like, I'm just like you, you know, and something like that. It's like, you know, there may be a lot of people that would look at him like they wouldn't. Maybe there's people out there that only follow people because they're sex icons or because they look really great all the time or whatever. But I'm not attracting those people. I mean, some of those people might follow me, but like, I'm attracting people that are real and that I can inspire and I can help through my posts. And I will filter my voice sometimes, you know, for like professionalism, but I also don't totally filter it. I've had some people that have commented on my, you know, my photos or my pictures about, you know, that I shouldn't post bikini photos or, you know, cause my nipples are hard all the time. Like, guess what? That's just the way it is. And you can thank my mom. I thank my mom for that all the time. You know, like there's certain things about me that like, I'm not going to filter cause that is who I am. And if you're not into it and you don't want your kids following me, then that's you. But the amount of parents that literally come up to me and direct message me and message me all the time that they're so happy that their kids and their daughters and their sons have someone like me to look up to and gain strength from is why I continue to be vulnerable and be myself as much as possible, you know. And it took a long time, a lot of growing up. I just grew up and through experiences. We're all like that, right? We experience things and we learn. And I was always in a constant, I always wanted to be better. And now I can look back on those 2 years, the year of doing Europe and saying, yeah, I wasn't in the best mindset. I was crazy. I came home from Europe to go to regionals and I was the person that was like terrified. I was a head case. I was not in a good mindset. I was terrified. I'd been injured for 6 weeks. It was very hard for me to keep my mind straight. And then just when I thought that I was kind of getting through it, bam, a lot of people hit me with comments and things that like, I was already someone who, I was very broken. So it would be very easy for me to believe the things that you're saying, you know, the lies that you're feeding me. And how could I not believe them when now all of these people in the world are saying them out loud? Like, you're saying things that I maybe have thought in my head. And now you're saying them out loud, which means you know. Like, who told you? Who told you that I wasn't that cool and that I never should have won regionals? And someone's reading my journal and they're, you know, they're plastering it everywhere. But like, that's kind of what I went through. And I think through me sharing that experience with people and, you know, young kids and teenagers and adults and just as scary as it can be to already to be very vulnerable or open with people, you know, it's like 10 times scarier to like do it to people that you don't know. Well, that can be different. Some people, it's more scary to be yourself around people that you know, tell them like the things that are bad about you or that you've, you know, may not be as pretty. But I hope that I can share these things with people and they're still going to go through hard times, but maybe sharing how I got through them will give them hope, you know, and will allow them to get through them faster or a little bit easier than, you know, what some people, like what it takes for some people to go through, you know, the ups and downs of life.
Right. Yeah. I kind of wanted to follow that thought train a little bit with respect to social media specifically. Like, if you were to advise, because right now people are growing up in an era where they've always had it.
Oh, right? Yeah. Which makes me so, it kind of makes me so sad.
It's a little bit.
Because I love social media and I hate it so much at the same time. I love it because you really can, by the click of a button, can affect millions of people.
Right.
Like, what else, in what other way can you do that? You can't, like, not that fast.
Right.
But I also hate it. And thinking about kids, you know, like, this is all they have, this is all they know.
Right.
Makes me sad.
So if you see kids, like, using social media, say Instagram as, like, the one of choice in our world, do you think it is smart for them or advisable for them to be so personal with it? Like, what I mean is, like, you have the ability to influence a lot of people through like a business platform. Like, mm-hmm. A lot of people use like social media strictly for business and then they keep their personal life out of it.
Yep.
So that if comments are made, it's really not attacking them. It's attacking their brand.
Yep.
Do you think was that the way you would advise, like, say, young girls out there, high school girls, like, don't use your social media for personal stuff. Keep that personal with the people that really care about you, or do you think that it's still worth it to forge that personal connection?
No. I think that even me, I keep my stuff personal. Like, there's certain things I don't need to tell you. Like, my birthday is tomorrow. I don't need to tell the world, hi, it's my birthday. Because it's not, I mean, what am I looking for something in return? Like, I don't need to tell you that my mom had back surgery 2 weeks ago. I don't need to tell you that my, you know, when my grandmother passed away. I don't need to tell you that, you know, there's people out there, it's like people that get divorced. It's like, well, now I have to tell everyone, like, this is what happened. No, you don't, actually. They don't have to have a front row seat into every single thing that happens in your life. But you can still do things as yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you can make posts as yourself. You don't need to make up posts or write things that, because what it is, I think it's like sneaky. You'll write things in a way you know people will want to read it. Or you'll do things in a way you know people will accept it. So you're secretly, like, you're subconsciously not totally doing it the way that you want to do it. You're doing it in a way that will get you more likes, will get you more follows. Right. And at some point, that will be exhausting. I think that social media for young kids is, I can't say that I think that it's something that they shouldn't do, because that's just, it's just the way it is, right? They're going to do it. They already do it. I don't fully support it. I want kids to be kids, you know? I do, you know, sometimes, like, I do totally have a potty mouth. I curse all the time. And, like, my nephew, my brother's son, my mom, like, they all watch my social media and watch my YouTube channels. And, like, it's not a problem. You know, like, I am myself with enough filter to not feel like I'm putting anyone at a risk. You know what I mean? Back to the question you had, I think that no one really needs to put their real life, like, every single detail on social media. Like, if you want to cry to someone, or you want to, you know, complain to someone, like, do it to a real person in real life. If you want to share your traveling experience and where you're going and what you're seeing and, you know, your accomplishments and maybe some of your hard times too, like, to a certain extent, like, share them. But I think that kids especially should keep their stuff personal, and none of them should be using social media as a business tool. The amount of people that I have messaged me and asking me to follow these certain accounts, and it's like these little kids in CrossFit, and it's their parents messaging me and wanting me to give them a follow or give them a shout. Absolutely not. This is the percentage of people in CrossFit that are going to make a career out of it, and, like, through social media, like, a real career, is very low. I don't believe that children should be trying to do that right now. I think they should be children, and they should be going to school, and they should be playing sports, and they should be themselves. And instead of living life in trying to make people, like, trying to be perceived as a way that will make you money, and you're already learning how to act like that at such a young age, I don't think I'd want to be around you when you're an adult. Like, you know, fame and money can already make people such ugly people. We know that. I have a lot of people in my corner and that I work with that will not happen, because they will not let that happen. But I'm fully aware of it. Like, that can happen. That happens to people every single day. We don't want children to start acting like that, you know, or already have them labeling themselves at such a young age of, like, getting likes and what people like and what they don't. Like, I've been through bullying. I've grown up in a way that didn't have social media. And look at me at 20. Hold on, I turn 28 tomorrow. In my, you know, late 20s was when I luckily was able to, something happened that brought all of those insecurities and things I dealt with as a young age. They surfaced and I dealt with them and I've grown from them. For children to go through things like that, like, all we're doing is we're implementing this more ideas of, like, it's okay to judge people. Like, that's what social media does, whether you believe it or you don't. And I'm not saying 100% of people on social media do that. They don't.
Well, even when they're even when you're giving approval, you're judging.
Yeah, that's
them.
What it is. It's approval.
Yeah.
So for children to start already seeking approval and learning through action that that's what they need to do to, like, be successful. Oh, it's so sad. And I don't, and parents should not be should not be helping with that. You know, like, not cool, man. Like, this is not
kids
cool.
Kids need to learn how to, like, draw.
Yeah, Ben, you have kids.
They need to learn how to read books.
Exactly.
You know, they need
play
to
play outside.
Interact with people
climb trees.
Who are in the same room with them, not people who are 1,000 miles away from them. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a really important.
What's
really
crazy
important.
Is they text people that are in the same room as them.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
too.
It's true.
So weird.
Talk about
I'm
how hard
that,
it is
but...
to communicate with people now. You get a bunch of people where all they know is social, like how to communicate through an app or a device or social media. It's like they're going to have a lot of rough times growing, like as they grow up. Like we already are, life is a roller coaster, right? And now it's how can you learn to cope with things or learn from things or how can you get through it? You're going to have ups and downs forever. And the same type of stuff is going to happen over and over and over again. Everything will, like history repeats itself, right? So it's how can we learn from our mistakes and be able to get through the hard times easier? And that's going to be real hard when kids are starting to have those hard times at a very, very young age when you shouldn't even be having those until you're like graduating high school.
Right. Spoken like a mother. I think we had a question from one of our listeners.
Yeah, getting a little personal, I guess. Somebody on our Instagram, because we
yes.
asked somebody, we let them know that you were going to
oh, good.
Be,
I'm happy you did.
Yeah, showing up here and doing a podcast with us. But they asked us, they said, one thing they want to know is, does Brooke want to or plan on having
babies?
Kids? Babies, yes. Offspring of the human variety, because we know that you already have a dog.
Yes, I do have a dog.
It's a cool dog.
This is an answer that I think makes the most sense, and a lot of people will understand it, I think. I'm 27. I turn 28 tomorrow. At the moment, I don't want children. But I want to revisit that question when I'm in my 30s. That's it. Because I do, I mean, I'm the youngest of four. I love having siblings. My brother has three kids. He's a single dad of three. My sister has four kids. My other sister just had her first. And I love their kids. When I'm around, and I'm very good with kids. I really am. My mom used to tell me that I can
vouch for that because you've been around my kids.
I love your children.
Yeah, and you coached my oldest son, yep. Mason, to a PR tie on mm-hmm. a snatch when he was having a rough day. So, yes, I know you're good with kids.
My mother has told me my whole life that I can relate to all ages, like from a very young age, like from older people to, you know, I love sitting with like senior citizens and then like young kids. But there's a lot of things about children that I'm just not ready for, you know, and I'm really good at being an aunt, but I don't think that for the next few years, I will not add that to my plate. But I want to revisit that question, you know, age like 33, 34. Because I will say I do think that I want children at some point. But right now, I do not at this time.
That's a very political answer, but it's a very good answer. No, that's
good. I mean,
good.
I honestly, I just, sometimes I'm around kids and I'm like, ugh. Oh, you know, even Marston.
You and me both.
Mars will be around kids and he's like, oh my God, I'm so happy we have a dog. You know? And then other times I'm like, yeah, I could do this. But I think the best answer, because I used to for a while, I would say absolutely not. Like not at all. And now it's more of like, I'm realistic. That, you know, the instinct's going to kick in at some point. The baby hungriness, I'm sure. But I'm thinking I will reevaluate and be able to re-ask myself that question when I'm like in my 30s. And I think the answer will be different than what it is right now.
It's fair enough to say that the timing is definitely not right in
the
your
timing
mind.
Is not right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe
it
within
would
a
real,
decade or so.
Yeah. It'll really make things difficult. You know what I want to do? I used to tell people this. Girls, you know, you get married and it's like, well, you have a boyfriend. I'm like, when are you going to get married? And it's like, okay, you get married. When are you going to have kids? You know, and I've had people that are like, it'd be super selfish of you to not have children. And to me, here's my response. Children are not for everybody. And I do think babies are awesome. And also, I think I could have a really awesome baby. I do want to remind you that women get this comment. Like, women, when you have a baby, a lot of things change, right? And when you're young, your parents tell you over and over again, you can grow up and be whatever you want. And you can go after your dreams. And you can do this and you can do that. And then all of a sudden, the women get to a certain age. It's like, when are you having kids? Well, guess what? For majority of people, when that happens, those other things just have to stop. Because kids are a full-time job. And because not only are they a full-time job, but you want to give everything you have to them. That's just what happens. Like, my mom did it for me. Want to know why I am where I am today? Because my mother, my mom and my dad worked full-time. My mom worked, and then she was a full-time mother. And we had four kids, and all of us were active. We all played sports. My sister swam on the junior Olympic team. I wanted to do everything, and my mom took me to every single activity that I wanted to do. Every one of her children played every sport they wanted, did everything they wanted, and it's because she, her and my dad made that happen. And she's a very strong woman. Her mind, her body, I mean, she has given a lot of things to me, and I'm so unbelievably grateful. And I would love to be able to do that for a little human one day, but before I do that, I'm going to continue to do the things that my parents told me I could do my entire life. And that's go out there and be successful and do what I want and be the best at something. And that's why children right now are not, they're not in the plan for me yet, because I'm not done, basically. Yeah. I'm not done.
She's not done.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, not done. That kind of segues me into the next thing as we look at your athletic career. You know what I mean? What is your plan? I mean, because you have now, it seems like you've got all these projects going. You have Hollywood maybe in the back pocket. Like, you mean, you have all these things, but you're still known for being a really fit human being.
Yeah.
And people want to see
the comeback.
Yeah, the comeback.
Yeah, it's happening.
It's happening.
It's happening.
Right.
Yeah, some people have like seen me and they're like, please tell me that you're going to try and come back. And I'm like, absolutely. Like, no brainer. You know, there are a lot of things that I really want to do. And I do, I didn't think that I wanted to do the movies, but now I think like, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. You know, but I kind of want to be like, I'd like to be in the movies or be an actress that's first and foremost known for her athletics and that the other stuff is extra, you know? Yeah. And not only that, though, like, I'm just not done competing. I'm not done with CrossFit. And I just got the green light to train 100%, except for a couple movements, you know, that really put a lot of awkward force to my neck. But we are evaluating where I'm at, and we're moving forward. And I'm going to train this year with the goal to crush the California regional and crush the games next year. And with that, we will see what happens. I'll put in the work and we'll see where the cards fall. You know, there's nothing more that I can do. But I will tell you, like, just thinking about it, I mean, every day at the games, like, I can't help but just envision me winning. Like, and it's just so natural. Like, it doesn't scare me at all about making it to regionals next year. For some reason, I just feel really good about it. And that doesn't mean that it's not going to be really hard, but I'm just going to train to be better. I'm going to train because I didn't get to train and I had something that was like, you know, taken away from me for a long time. And there's a lot of things that I was really good at and there's a lot of things that I wasn't. And now more than ever, I just want to get better at those things. And the result could be me being very successful in the next season. And you know, whatever happens, happens. But for sure, I mean, every time I train, I get better. And every time I train, I feel better. And it excites me to hurt. And it excites me to sweat. And it's a good feeling. You know, I've had a lot of ups and downs emotionally with over the last couple seasons. And I'm just in such a better spot. I'm just a happier person. And there's a lot of things I want to do, and I am doing, and I am traveling. You know, my traveling's about to quit after this next trip. I'm going to Europe. I'm doing a little Europe tour. I'm going to coach and appear out there. And that was kind of like to piggyback a trip for my husband for Marston's 30th birthday. Mars turns 30 this week. So I've been planning it since like last December. That's mostly what it's for. But just to make it like worth my while too, and like for people that I don't get to see in Europe, I'm going to open up time. I'm going to be out there. And if people show up, cool. And if they don't, I mean, that's the way it is too, you know?
What would Marston do if he didn't have something to video? So,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, he's got to video something.
I told him, I was like, I'm taking you here. And I was like, oh, but you're working.
No big deal.
You're working the entire time.
Yeah. For me.
For me.
It's an expense paid work trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. For your birthday.
That's happy cool. birthday. Oh, I have a deadline for all those videos.
No, but it's cool to hear that you still have that fire, right? And it sounds like it's not even like a little spark. Like, it sounds like it's something that's really, like, you're really passionate about right now.
Yeah.
Is competition, getting back in there, and just proving to yourself and to others probably that you still got it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think, too, it's like I went in. I have a plate and four screws in my neck, and it's kind of putting me back into the same position I was going into regionals in 2015. No expectations. And I've been off the floor for 2 years, so not a lot of eyes, per se. You know, and I get to go in and I just get to do my best and have a plan and execute it the best that I can. Work really hard, suffer with the best of them. And I have a new fire that burns in me that will allow me to suffer a little better than everyone else, I think.
Yeah. I mean, before, when you left the regional and you were first place, you definitely would come back and have a target on your back,
mm-hmm.
right? But now that you've been out, well, not say out of the game, because that makes you sound old, because you're definitely not, but you've been out of the game for a season,
mm-hmm.
and does that let you feel like you're coming in and you get to set your sights on others, or do you feel like you still have a target on your back in that sense?
No, I don't have a target on my back. I get to come in and I get to chase people, which excites me. Yeah. Cause I feel like a lion in that aspect, and which is totally, an energy that that will motivates me. It's exciting. It's a game, you know, and also I get to chase you, and I get to want you to be successful. Like, I'm supportive and I'm having a great time, but I also don't have to run from you. And I don't think anyone has to run from someone, but I think that, you know, in 2016, I had more of that feeling, and it was a little bit harder to experience due to, you know, physically what I had been going through. Whereas, you know, I was going in not trying to think about it as like a target on my back, but subconsciously it was there in 2016 because I had all these worries that were keeping it there.
Well, I think that's a good place for us to kind of start to wrap up.
Yeah.
But I think that it's really cool. Like, I have a great time. Blair has a great time talking with you. And we usually don't get to see the vulnerable or the kind of the deeper side. But it's definitely there. And I think that's what makes it so great. And you have such good interactions with people that are short, because there is a depth to the person that is sitting across from me right mm-hmm. now. You know, it's really fun to see. It's really cool to see all the things that motivate you and all the things that drive you and all the things that, like, you've overcome, you know. And you said something earlier that you want to be in musical theater and that you sing and dance and do all this stuff. I've seen you dance before, but I've never heard you sing. So I'm looking forward to that day when that talent gets kind of like pulled out of you for some reason.
I used to sing the national anthem at all the rodeos, and like all of my brother wrestled in high school and played football. So like the wrestling tournaments, the football games, the basketball games, that was my thing. And I'll say this right now, and since I'm putting it out there in the universe, it may happen at some point. I always wanted to sing it at the CrossFit games.
Really?
So maybe one year I'll prepare. I mean, that was back when I was doing lessons, you know, a couple times a week. Cause that's all I did going before college. I was in musical theater company. I was in jazz company, tap company, ballet company, hip hop. I mean, that's what I did all day, every single day, sang and danced. And now I do CrossFit. But those other things are definitely passions of mine.
Would it be too much of a distraction to sing at the CrossFit Games? That you
if were I were competing?
If you were competing?
Yeah, I think so.
So you wouldn't want to do that. You want to wait till you crush it and podium at the Games next year, and then maybe in 2019, 2020, then you can go ahead and come back as the entertainment.
Yep, the entertainment. All right, guys.
All right, and you know her as the such-and-such fittest woman on Earth, and she's also singing the national anthem.
She's also going to sing the national anthem.
Perfect. I love it. All right. Well, if for some reason somebody doesn't know where to follow you, and for some reason this podcast is the first time they're ever hearing the name Brooke Entz, how do they follow you? How do they see what you're doing and what's next?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram at Brooke Entz, Twitter, same name. Facebook, same name, pretty sure. It might actually be a little bit different.
Which one
are you
the most active on out of all three of those?
Instagram. Yeah, I've been trying to up my Twitter game, but it's tough.
I keep hearing that people need to up their Twitter game, and I don't know why we are being pushed to up our Twitter game.
I don't know either. Because there is a community on there that is diehard Twitter.
I don't meet them, though. I don't know who they
are. I don't meet them either.
It's like hockey fans.
It's true.
I don't know. I don't ever meet real hockey fans. I know like one.
Yeah, it's true. We all enjoy a game.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with hockey. You know?
And then
I was hanging out with Canadians all week. So
my YouTube channel, which is really great. I mean, that's where we're trying to up our game on there a lot. Also talking about, you know, being yourself and being vulnerable. When you have a camera in your face and you look the way you look and, you know, it's you. And so I've run into that a lot where, like, it's a great opportunity for me to just, bam, there I am.
Be yourself.
That's me.
Yeah.
There I am with my family on Christmas.
So your YouTube channel is?
Brooke Entz.
Brooke Entz.
Yeah, first and last name, hashtag It Makes Sense.
It Makes Sense.
Such a good hashtag.
It is a good one.
That goes out to my coach, Michael Cashew, because he came up with that years ago.
Smart dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a good dude. We had him on the show recently as well. So
it's very intelligent.
Yeah, and guys, if you want to follow us on our Instagram game is not quite as strong as Brooke's, but you can check us out at BTB Podcast. And then check out our newsletter at btbpodcast.com, and we'll see you guys next time.